You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Amen. Let's stand one more time, if you would. I've had you up and down two or three times. Stand one more time. Now, get your hands ready. This is a fast one, okay? You'll like this one. It's got a lot of words. Everybody get your mouth all loosened up, okay? It's got a lot of words in it. He's God of New York City. He's God of Tennessee. He's God of Odessa, Texas. And He's God all over me. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. He's God that healed my body. He's God that saved my soul. He filled me with the Holy Ghost and now I overflow. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. Well, He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven and He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. Well, He's God in the fiery furnace. He's God in the lion's den. He's God all over heaven and He's God that I trust in. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always be. Well, He's God up on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corners. And He's God all over the floor. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always. I'll sing that last verse. Well, He's God upon the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corners. And He's God all over the floor. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. He'll always be the same. Turn to three people and say, God's God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Sister Kathy's going to come and do a special for us tonight.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like my Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as
Wow, what a song. I got to meet the old man that wrote that. He wrote it when he was a young man, and his wife left him. He come home one day. She left him, said she never wanted to see him again. He went down on the Gulf. He lived in Georgia to take his life. And sitting by the side of the ocean, thinking about how he was going to take his life, God gave him those words. He said within 30 minutes he had the entire song written. His name was Charles Weigel. When I heard him, he was 80 years of age. And I'm going to think he still sang that song. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Had one of the ex-inmates, Terry Reed. Terry was in the first class I ever did in Big Spring Federal Prison 27 years ago last month. Terry was the largest drug bust in the history of Seattle, Washington. He still is, by the way. He still holds that record. They took him down between $20 and $40 million worth of cocaine when they busted him. They moved him out of the northwest area of the United States to get him away from all his connections. They sent him to Siegelville, and it was at Siegelville that Terry got saved. Then they moved him to Big Spring, and like I said, he showed up at the first class. Over the years, Terry and I became friends. But the more that I got to know about Terry, I found out that Terry said, told me one time, he said, "Leland, they say that everybody will leave you but Mama and Jesus." He said, "My own mama disowned me." And she did. Because of his lifestyle and that he'd gotten all the family on cocaine. He said, "The only one that ever stood by me was Jesus." Terry left the Big Spring Federal Prison, went back to Seattle, Washington, to regain, not money, but to build his character. And Terry Reed actually bust tables in a restaurant he'd once owned. Now that will humble you. And today he's got Crossways Ministry, a prison ministry in Seattle, Washington. And they're still going into prisons doing that. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight about a term called born again. I know many of you have heard that term. Sometime in religion, we get to be like doctors and lawyers. We come up with a lot of our own terminology. And the bigger the words, the more you can charge for them. See, if you talk and what the other guy doesn't understand is that it's kind of like the fella that was standing there with his attorney. And the attorney and the judge were conversing, and he was trying to hear, but he wasn't catching much of that stuff. And he said, finally they turned around, and the attorney told him, said, "Come on." And he said, What'd he say? And he turned to him, he said, "The judge said you were acquitted." He said, "I was what?" He said, "You were acquitted." He said, "Does that mean I get to keep the chickens?" And so sometimes we got these big terms that we don't quite understand at times. And sometimes we do that in religion. But this is a Bible term that we're going to talk about tonight. So you need to know it. It's something that I think also are there some misconceptions about. So if you'll turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2. Now, if you need a Bible and would like to follow me, we've got some folks that can give you a Bible. So if you lift your hand, they'll be right on the spot here. And John chapter 2. Because this is going to be an introduction to John 3. Give them all out? Okay, that's good. We'll have some. Now, let me say this about the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and want one, just keep that one as the rec room's gift to you. If you are going to turn it in tonight after you leave, if you put it on the back table back here, that would help. Don't just leave it in your chair, but if you put it on the table, that will help us. And we'll have some more of this time next week. John chapter 2, verse 24. And it said, when Jesus, verse 23, said, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed on his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, if you really want to know what he knew, you can go to Mark chapter 7 very quickly, and I'm going to do that just to give you a thumbnail sketch of what Jesus said would come out of a man's heart. Here's what's in man. This is what Jesus knew about a man. Mark chapter 7 and verse 20. He said, and that which cometh out of the man, that defileth him. So, next verse, Mark 7, 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. They originate in the heart of man. They didn't originate with your friends. They didn't originate with your environment. They didn't originate with your birth. As far as your family, your mother, or your daddy, they came from within. And this is what Jesus knew was in man. Now then, the next, we're going to move into chapter 3, and we're going to see that, we've got some more Bibles here. We're going to see the Holy Spirit bring a man in to Jesus, and he selected probably the finest man on the face of the earth at that point in time that was just total man. He brings in a man called Nicodemus. So in chapter 3, said there was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God, for no man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice a couple of things about this man. He's a Pharisee, which means he's in the Sanhedrin, or their national council of the Jews, as it were, what we probably refer to it. He's a man of high morals. He's a good man. He's a man that pays his bills. He's a man that walks the walk. And if you looked at him, you could find nothing wrong with him on the outside. Not only that, he said he's the ruler of the Jews. Rabbinical tradition says that he was one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. But this man has got everything going for him, and he comes to Jesus because he knows one thing. He's honest enough with himself to know that he doesn't have everything that he needs. Something is missing. Now, all of us are very aware that we have needs of things. All of us are very aware that we have needs from God. Now, we may deny that. We may argue that. We may get in a group. We may claim to be atheists. We may claim to believe something else. We may claim to be this. We may claim to be that. But the truth of the matter is that God's left a vacuum in every man's heart that can only be filled with Jesus Christ. And until that's filled, it will always be a vacuum, and it'll always be a problem, and will never be solved. Now then, and so he comes to Jesus. He said, we know these things. And Jesus doesn't say, thank you so much for telling me this. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Notice, Jesus cuts direct to the chase and immediately said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now listen carefully just a little bit. Our problem, my problem, your problem, is not stealing and lying and cussing and adultery and drugs and booze and all the things that are consistent of in this world. Sir, we don't move around in here. Thank you. We'll be through in just a minute. That's not our problem. Jesus just told Nicodemus what his problem was. Problem is we're born wrong. Jesus said, you're born wrong. So that's not what... Yeah, he said you got to be born again. So if you got to be born again, something wrong with first birth, isn't it? Something wrong. We're born wrong. And let me tell you something else. Baptism won't solve that. Church membership won't solve that. Tradition won't solve that. Joining clubs won't solve that. You can't cure it by sacraments and baptism and good works. That won't solve the birth problem. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is thinking purely of the mother's side of the birth. Not the father's side, but the mother's side. He said, how can a man, second time, he's thinking totally physically. Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now notice, now Jesus changes, you must be born again, and clarifies it by saying, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. He said, if you're not that, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus defines that. Now, we got people that's taken these verses, and they come up with more off-the-wall stuff than you can shake a stick at. Most of us stop studying before Jesus stops teaching. See? He's not through. He's going to tell you what the birth of water is, and he's going to tell you what the birth of the Spirit is. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's water birth. Every one of us come through that birth. When the water broke, birth's coming. See? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's everybody on this universe. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That's not everybody. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And let me add this, just throw this in. But I have a lot of folks that say, well, especially after the other, they say, I want one of them easy to read Bibles. And I've got an answer for that, and I'm my normal nasty self. When I said you want one easy to read, you want one that's true. You can have your choice. But let me say this. The these and the thous, everybody in here understands. Don't tell me you don't understand that. But those are aids to interpretation. Thee and thou and thy is always singular. Here's a perfect example of it. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, singular, Nicodemus, I'm talking to you. Then he says, ye, or you, that's plural. That's you and me and everybody else, must be born again. You cannot get to heaven without being born again. That which is flesh is flesh. And this whole flesh, both these pastors here do a lot of funerals. And everybody in here is touched by somebody leaving this earth. And this old flesh just goes back to the dirt. It just rots. It's gone. But that which is born of spirit, he said the wind listeth. He used the illustration here of the wind, like the Holy Spirit. He said, the wind listeth. Here. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born by the Spirit. See, I can't look at you and tell. And you can't look at me and tell if we've been born by the Spirit. I can con you. And you can con me. We can act like Nicodemus lived better than anybody in this room. And he's going to hell if he doesn't get born again. Hey, you can't see the wind. We live in a place that the wind is very instrumental out here. I've lived here long enough now to be upset by the wind. But when I moved back out here from Houston, Texas, I was so tired of the humidity in Houston, Texas, that the first windstorm we had, I got out and stood in it and enjoyed it. I just, boy, it feels good. That old humidity. We got that dry, you know, it's dry. But the wind, you can't see the wind. We can see the results of the wind. We can even feel the wind. But you can't see the wind. Where's the wind? We can tell you the speed of the wind, but you still can't see it. Wind is very funny. It changes up and down the atmosphere. Many a time in flying, I found that the wind at 5,000 feet is totally different than the wind at 7,000 feet. And we'd always call the flight service station and get the winds aloft so we could figure what's the best altitude to fly to get there the quickest or to have the least headwind, whichever the case might be. We can't see the wind. We can't see what God does in a person. Now let me say this. Some of us, it looks like He's done a work in our life, doesn't it? And to some of us that claim to be Christian, it doesn't look like He's done a thing in our life. Like one fellow said, he said, if you was arrested for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? Think about that one for a little bit. He said, well, no, Judge, I'm a Christian. So, well, we've got here, we're arresting you for being a Christian, but we don't have any evidence of it. Now, we've watched you for about a week, and, you know, probably what he'd tell me, he said, no, Leland, you're not looking too good. I said, I think that's a false accusation when they said you was Christian, the way you act. Hey, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now then, how's that going to happen? He said, how's it going to work? How does this take place? How can I go back? He said, I can't go back to my mother's womb and be born again. Jesus said, this is spirit. We're not talking about the flesh. Now, you already had that fleshly birth. You've had that water birth. This is spirit. This is what God does. Now then, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 39. Psalms chapter 39, and the last part of verse 5 says this. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's our best. It's altogether vanity. Every man is born wrong. Every man needs the new birth. And what he told Nicodemus, it's what every man must have. Now then, turn with me. We're going to go to the other end of the Bible. I want to go to 1 Peter. That's way over. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. But Hebrews, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the seed. As men sow the seed of fleshly births, God's Holy Spirit sows the seed, which is His word, of the spiritual birth. This is the reason that we have this meeting. I love the music. I love the refreshments. I love the fellowship. But the main purpose is to help people get born again. That's why we use this book. This is why we talk about the Word of God, because God said His Word wouldn't return void. I could tell you illustrations, I can tell you jokes, I can tell you things. And God makes no promise about my Word whatsoever. But He said His Word would not return void. That's why we want to stay with the Word of God. That's why I put the emphasis on the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The Word of God. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. This is it. And at the toward the end of it, well, not the end of this chapter, if we just kept going in this chapter, you're going to run into the verse, John 3:16. That's where it comes from. That's how to be born again. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." We trust Christ. We believe what He said. Nicodemus evidently did that on that night, because he's the one that came and helped prepare Jesus' body after His crucifixion. He became a believer. Didn't have to be born again physically. Didn't take anything on Nicodemus' part, but to trust the words of Jesus Christ. Salvation is so simple that we miss it year in and year out. We get it mixed up with religion. We get it mixed up with church. We get it mixed up with a lot of things. We get it mixed up with rituals. We get it mixed up with trying to do right and not doing wrong. Instead of turning in it and letting God form that birth in us through His Word. Are you born again? Our first birth was wrong. The second one will be perfect. Have you done that? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ? "Lord, I trust You. I believe You died for my sins and paid my debt, and I put my faith and trust in You to take me to heaven." Have you done that? That's all you can do. Can't do any more, can't do any less. But you can do that. That's your part. He'll take care of the birth part. You didn't have anything to do with your physical birth and that transformation, and you won't have anything to do with the second one except ask for it. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here tonight and you've never been born again. Now maybe you're a member of church. Maybe you're doing well today as far as your lifestyle. Maybe things are going good for you. But you would say, "Leland, I've never been born again." Would you just slip up your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. I see your hand, son. God bless you. I see yours, sir. Yours, hon. You can put them back down. Anyone else? Real quickly. "I've never been born again." Now, I hope that by you saying that, it means that you want to. It may not, but I'd wish that it did. Because tonight, this very night, you can leave this auditorium, God's child, on the way to heaven. You can leave here with that new life and that new birth, that spiritual life that you'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't know any magic words. I just trust you to save my rotten soul. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross and paid for my sin. And that's all I know to do." There's also some of you here that, yes, you've been born again. And no, you haven't looked like it. How long are you going to keep shooting yourself in the foot? How long are you going to keep hurting yourself when the joy and the happiness and the peace is so close? It's just coming home. It's coming home. Our Father, you know the hearts of the people here tonight. Just like you knew Nicodemus' heart, you know mine, and you know theirs. And I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit might move in this group. He'll be unseen, but he won't be unfelt. And that you touch hearts tonight to bring down to this altar for your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand to your feet, your heads bowed, eyes still closed, as Brother Doug sings, "Just as I am without one plea." I want you to come on the very first verse. Say, "I'm coming to trust Christ as my Savior. Here I come. I want to come tonight. I want to be saved." Come on. Come on. There'll be people here to pray with you, talk with you. Come on. Do what God wants you to do. Come on.
And that Thou bidst me
come
to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to
rid
my soul of
one
dark blood.
I've just been born wrong.
To Thee,
I want that new birth.
Whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Verse. Come
just
on.
As I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Head's still bowed, eyes still closed. The Lord continues to play. Have you done what God wants you to do? Have you pleased Him tonight in the decision you made? And every now and then somebody said, "Well, I didn't make a decision." Yeah, you did. I always make a decision. We make a decision either serve Him or not to. We make a decision to live for Him or not to. Every time we're confronted, we make a decision. Did you make the decision God wants you to do? There's people here praying at the front. We don't want to interrupt Him. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. The refreshment bar will be open. You can fellowship. But we don't want to interrupt these here. God's dealing with some hearts. Our Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit moving tonight. Thank you that, Father, though we can't see you, we know you're here. We pray that you just bless us and use us. Thank you for these. Thank you for these that had the guts and the courage to come. Thank you for those that are making some real decisions for you tonight. They're not for us. They're not for the rec room. They're not for any church. They're for you. Just cuddle them up close to you. Give them the strength. Let them know you're always with them. Let them know that nobody ever cared for them like you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.